This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. If you'd like to contact me, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me through either method. The program can be re-listened to on my website, and there's a weekly meditation and other information on the website that you might find helpful. So if you would like my mailing address or my website address, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write it down at the close of the program. Now, as you know, we've been trying to look at some of the prominent Old Testament worthies, and we've been studying their lives, what's remembered about them, and trying to make some of the New Testament applications, some of the New Testament characters of Christians, characteristics of Christians come alive by looking at these Old Testament worthies, many of whom are mentioned in Hebrews 11, where we find out that there's a list of people from the Old Testament that demonstrated faith. Now, some of them, we would have said, didn't demonstrate faith the way we think they should have demonstrated it, but God has them in that list of Old Testament faithful people. We call it the heroes or the faithful hall of fame with regard to the Old Testament, and that's Hebrews 11 if you want to go back and read it. Now, today I want to spend a little time on Job. I don't intend to read all of Job and give you a complete exposition of the book of Job, but I want to give you a little overview of Job's life. And I think for those of you that are truly Christians, truly saved, it will be a help to you. And if you're not truly saved, I hope it makes you want the Lord as your Savior, because obviously when we're saved, we are used of the Lord for His glory, and we don't always know just how we're being used. But isn't that a wonderful thing to know, that a saved person has a purpose and that God wants us to be faithful to Him even when we don't understand what is going on? And that was Job's case. He was being attacked by Satan and he didn't understand what was going on. I'm going to read from Job chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord said to Satan, "From whence do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Now, we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of His word. There's other passages that we may be reading and referring to in a little while. But what's interesting is that, first of all, we are confronted with the fact that Satan has access, at least at this time, and I think in our present day, has access to heaven. And he apparently even talks to the Lord. We find out that he is called the accuser of the brethren. And so we know that his purpose is, first of all, to keep people from coming to faith in the Lord. And his second purpose is, if we have come to faith in the Lord, he wants us to make mistakes where we either doubt it or where we, in fact, sin against what we know to be true. In other words, he wants to set obstacles in our way. And there's a lot of this talked about in the New Testament. And we can be used of God to promote faithfulness. We can be used of God to promote the gospel, but as Christians, we can be used of God to stumble people who might have an interest in the gospel. And Satan is out to make sure that he upsets the plan of God wherever he can. A person really doesn't understand hatred till you start studying a little bit, start studying Satan a little bit, and begin to understand that here was one who had a preferred place in heaven and apparently was lifted up in pride, wanting the place I believe that only the Lord Jesus deserved and should have. And when sin was found in him, he was cast out of heaven, in the sense that he no longer was a part of the heavenly congregation that served the Lord, but he really wasn't cast out of heaven in the sense that he had no access to heaven. And so now he challenges the Lord and he says, does this Job that you're so proud of, does he serve you for nothing? In other words, he's trying to convince us, and he's trying to convince the Lord that the only reason we would serve the Lord is if we get something out of it. Well, frankly, I guess I have to admit that I'm serving the Lord because I wanted to get something out of it. God said that if I didn't serve him, if I didn't worship him, if I didn't trust him, I'd go to a sinner's hell. And if I did trust him, I'd go to a place called heaven, a place called the Father's house, a place of bliss, a place where I could serve the Lord and where there would be joy and peace and comfort throughout the endless ages of eternity. I wanted the destination of heaven. I didn't want the destination of hell. And so, yes, I wanted to get something out of it. But now, after I'm saved, am I willing, when I don't understand what's going on, to serve the Lord, even though I may not be getting anything out of it? In many cases, people have chosen to be missionaries and have turned their back on profitable lines of businesses and practices and professions in order to serve the Lord because they have honored that statement, seek the Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And so they are faithful. And when they are faithful, oftentimes things happen in their lives where they could say, is God with me or not? Does God love me or not? Recently, I was in a senior activity center meeting, and we were studying the person that we'll look at later on called John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a forerunner, that is, he was a herald of the king. He was the one who pronounced to the world that the king was coming. He was related to the Lord. Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. He was born from Elizabeth, and the Lord was born from Mary. So they were close relatives. And he did his work and then ended up in prison. And after he ended up in prison, he asked the question, he asked his disciples to ask the Lord, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He had preached that this was the Messiah. But as you study the passage, you find out that he himself had said that he must decrease and the Lord must increase. And so the Lord was really taking him out of the way so people would not worship him and they would get their eye on the Lord. It appears to me that that's why he was in prison. But still, in prison, he had that question. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And he was reassured because the Lord told the disciples, go show John again. And he reminded them of all the things the Lord was doing. So there are obstacles sometimes that come up in life and make us question our faith. But Job never questioned God. And that's what's interesting, is that Satan begins to test Job. And as a result, Job lost his property, he lost his family, and he lost his health. But he says in Job chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Now, as we go through this story, we find out that Job was a little self-righteous. And he had to lose that pride and self-righteousness, and he had to recognize that no matter what happened to him, God was just and God was right. God was the one who was on the throne. But God honored his faithfulness at the very end of his life, or at the very end of this trial. He prays for three friends who continually charge Job with sin. And this is another lesson we need to learn, that sometimes when things happen in our life, we assume God is punishing us for sin. Well, first of all, a Christian, after he's saved, is never punished, because our punishment has been borne by the Lord at the cross. We can't be punished for our sins and have a just God who has punished the Lord for his sins. So we're never punished in the sense of paying for our sins in a judicial way. But God does correct us. And that's really what a father is to do to his children, a mother should do to her children. They correct them. They don't make them pay for their sins, but they correct them so they won't sin again. It's called chastisement. And so some people will say when things come into their life, well, the Lord is punishing me. Well, the Lord isn't going to punish a believer, but he's not going to chastise or correct a believer either without telling him why he's correcting him. Any father or mother that corrects a child has to tell them why they're correcting them, or the correction does no good. And here's Job, and he's being attacked by Satan, and he doesn't know that, and his three friends sit there for 7 days not saying anything, and that was the totality of their wisdom, really. They were wise when they weren't saying anything, because when they opened their mouth, all three of them used from a different perspective, said that religion or philosophy or experience proved that Job must have sinned and he needed to clean up his life. And Job says, I have not sinned. Interesting enough, God said Job had not sinned as well, did he not? And so we find out that we have an adversary. He's a terrible adversary. As Christians, we have an adversary. As the unsaved, we have an adversary, and his name is Satan, which means that he is the adversary, the one who stands against us. Sometimes we call him the devil because he's evil, and sometimes we call him the serpent because he's deceitful, but as Satan, he's our adversary. And so Satan is an adversary to Job. And then Job goes through all of these trials. And his friends keep saying, well, Job, this wouldn't have happened to you if you hadn't messed up. And I'm telling you right now, if you're a Christian and you think that God is in some way dealing with you for some sin, and you don't know what the sin is, assume that the attack is a satanic attack. Because if God, as a loving father, is going to correct you, he's going to tell you what you did wrong. You're going to know what you did wrong. Your conscience is going to bother you. The Bible is going to convict you. You're going to know what you did wrong. And if you don't know you've done anything wrong, it would be well to pray about it and say, have I missed something? But you don't need to go on what I call a witch's hunt looking for some sin that needs to be corrected, because a father who is correcting a child will tell them what is wrong before they correct him. And Job was not told that anything was wrong, and Satan was even told that this was an upright man, one who shunned evil, one who worshiped God faithfully. And so Satan says, okay, I'm going to attack this one. Now, we haven't spent time on it yet, but really, in many ways, Job is a picture of Christ, who suffered for our sins, who did not suffer for his own. And he suffered because sin came into the world through Satan. And so as we look at Job, and we're going to spend another session on this fine man, as we look at Job, recognize that we have an adversary, but recognize that just because things aren't going the way we expected them doesn't mean that we're being corrected for some sin. We thank God that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Christ has been punished for our sins. We can still be corrected, but if we don't know what we're being corrected for, we have to assume the attack is for the testimony of the Christian before the adversary Satan. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and salvation in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we thank you for listening. Thank you.